Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, it's your favorite sports talk show in the DMV, the Sports Junkies.
We're talking DC sports and having fun, chopping it up every day on the radio.
You can hear us every morning on 106.7 The Fan.
But did you know our show is also a podcast?
You get every episode, every hour, and every single highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
And whenever works for you.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search the Sports Junkies, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
So we can catch up with the former longtime NFL head coach and play caller, our buddy Jay Gruden.
On air and on the road, Jay Gruden is driven by the Tedbert Automotive Group, Tedbert Ford and Chantilly in Fairfax, your F-150 HQ, Tedbert Lincoln and Chantilly, and Tedbert Chevy in Sterling, all home to Tedbert for life. Lifetime vehicle coverage. See and shop them all at Tedbert.com.
Jay, 2-2 for Washington. At home, they've won convincingly twice, and on the road, they've looked like a completely different team. What'd you see yesterday when you put on the film?
I saw Atlanta get off to a pretty quick start. You know, they got Bijan going. They got the running game outside zone going, and there was a lot of missed tackles, a couple missed just some bad defensive football there for a little while. And then, you know, Washington hung in there like they normally did, and they just couldn't quite catch them. And every time Atlanta needed a play, they made a play. And every time Washington needed a stop, they couldn't get a stop. But, you know, a tough road loss. I thought that if Atlanta was allowed to hang in there early, then they'd play pretty good till the end. I was hoping that Washington would kick them in the teeth early and give them no reason to think they could win, but unfortunately, they let them hang around and they beat them.
Yeah, Bijan Robinson is so good. They held him below his season average in terms of yards per carry. Don't worry about the pass game. We'll get that in a second. And held Tyler Allgeier to just over 3 yards per carry. I know there were some missed tackles in there in some moments. I think that's going to happen. But to me, Jake, was those second and 16s, the second and 17s, those third and longs where you've earned it and those passes were just easily completed for Atlanta. What are you seeing in the pass defense? And why is Washington struggling so badly?
I think they're trying to, I don't know, I think the safety play was pretty much below average, you know, and they're playing a half field. They're playing so far deep. They're giving up these deep seven cuts out there in the corners, having too much room to carry either get underneath that route or cover the flat route. So he's kind of in a pickle. So safeties are just a little bit too deep. And then when they try to play some single high coverages, they get, Bobby got caught out in space a couple times, and that's really not his forte to try to cover Bijan Robinson on a wheel route. That's not where you want to put them. There's a lot of things that they can correct and move them forward. But I think the safety play for me is what stood out to me the most. They got to work on the safety play and protect Bobby a little bit more in some of those space plays.
And they were without starter Will Harris, without one of their top safety reserve guys as well, Percy Butler, in this game to that point. Jay, what about corner play? And specifically, what are you seeing from Marshawn Lattimore?
He gave up the out and up early in the game, the big play. I don't know. I want to see more from Marshawn. I was hoping he'd play a lot better. This wasn't his best game, obviously. He gave up a key third down of 7. He should have been outside leverage. It should have been an incompletion, but they let Drake run an out route on him on 3rd and 7, which that's really – I never would even try an out route on Marshawn Lattimore back in the day. It was 3rd and 7. He'd squat on that and pick it. I think he's going to – he's got to play better. He didn't play very good against Atlanta.
When you mentioned the safeties, Jay, that you've forgotten more this morning than I'll know my entire life. But for me, it's the corners that are always so visible, right? Where they're just guys have separation. We're talking about Lattimore, et cetera. Go into the safeties a little bit and what they're not doing. Is that a scheme thing, or is it just maybe that, you know, Quan Martin doesn't move around as well and they really miss Will Harris or Jeremy Chinn from last year? Go into what you saw with the safeties.
Yeah, a lot of missed tackles. I mean, a lot of not getting off blocks and taking bad angles in the running game. You know, the last touchdown, you know, Von Miller, you know, wasn't unblocked, but, you know, the safety's right there. All he has to do is shed a receiver and make a tackle for a 5-yard gain or 4-yard gain. And some bad angles. You know, the other touchdown to Bijan, you guys are trying to punch the ball out instead of wrap him up and tackle him. You know, so just some poor tackling by the safeties, poor coverage. They dropped the coverage on Kyle Pitts for the touchdown on the flat route. That was a safety's responsibility. You got nosy, looked in the backfield, and all of a sudden Kyle Pitts runs a flat route for a walk-in touchdown. You got to make Michael Penix earn his completions. You got to make them earn their yards, and I think there's too many gimmies because of the safety play. Then the pass coverage, like I mentioned before, they're just getting too deep, and they're a non-factor in the pass game.
Jay Gruden with us on Grant and Danny. They ended up hitting Michael Penix on only two plays. He had two hits on the quarterback. He was one of the worst in the league coming into the game when pressured. He was completing like 40% of his passes on the season, and he was negative 15, you know, completion percentage over expected, which was worst in the NFL. A lot of just bad burned balls under pressure, and then they got zero pressure. Are you surprised they didn't try to bring more heat, that they did kind of play so much zone and play off, or do you think they should have expected to be able to get home with four? What went wrong there?
Yeah, I don't know. I think Atlanta played pretty good up front, both in the running game and pass protection. They did a good job, and the four-man rushes weren't working. They tried a couple five-man fire zones, and they did not get home, unfortunately. And then, you know, when they did try a five-man fire zone, that Bobby was caught out in space trying to cover Bijan on a wheel route, and that was a 70-yard gain. So just pick your poison right there, and sometimes you got to try to get home with four guys, and if you can't, you put your defense, your safeties, your linebackers, your corners in a big pickle, and you know, that's something that, you know, probably needs to be addressed later on. They need to find some pass rushers to get home with four-man rush.
Jay Gruden on G&D. So I've got a follow-up to this in a second. I'm going somewhere with this, but I'm going to ask you more broadly first. Like, you made your money for many, many years in this league, watching the tape and then putting together a plan against flawed defenses or defensive flaws that you could find. How would you attack this defense right now? Because I there's something I want to play off of with this.
Yeah, I spread them out, get you guys, make them play out in space. You know, Wagner's and Luvu, these are great physical, tough guys between the tackles, but having them cover flat routes and wheel routes and all that stuff, put them in a pickle and try to get after the safeties as often as I could with four verticals or three verticals and make them cover ground. And, you know, if I did get man-to-man pre-snap reads, we'd have some very good audibles to get after some of these guys in man coverage, that's for sure.
So what I've noticed over now, really post-Green Bay, so what is that, three games, is a lot of the stuff the Packers did keep showing back up. And so among other things, and I'd have to sit down and show you, and you could tell me what it's all called and how it works, but these three-by-one looks where you get these crossers and these drags across the field, you know, the quick out stuff like you were talking about with the third and seven on Lattimore, where they motion him down, he follows London kind of in toward the box, then they whip him back out and he's following him. And before he can even get out there, he's on the wrong leverage and they move the sticks with ease. This is all stuff the Packers did all night long, and the Raiders did it and it worked. And now we've seen the Falcons do it and it worked. The book is kind of out here. I guess my question is that how it works, where you see that and you just go to that well the next week with your team? And what can Joe Witt do?
Well, Zach Robinson, he's an offensive coordinator. He came from Sean McVay, and Sean McVay and LaFleur and all these guys are from the same tree. So you can pretty much put a lot of these plays on third down, a lot of these formations and motions, and group them together. You know, that's the beauty of, you know, Sean and Zach Robinson and Matt LaFleur. They're going to change up formations to try to get you guys in a pickle or try to get the defenses in a pickle by motioning people across the formation or short motion or motion and stacks and bunches, make you guys play off of them. And it's tough, especially on third down and man coverage. So that's the book that they write. You know, the good offensive coordinator is going to write the book for you. They're not going to just lay back and figure out what defense is going to do it and try to do something later. No, we're going to attack. They're going to attack and make you make plays. And Zach had a good game plan this week. Last week he got shut out by Carolina. So what a difference a week makes, that's for sure.
Jay Gruden with us here on Grant and Danny. So, you know, as a you know, guy that made his living as a really, really good offensive mind, Jay, let's say one of your coaches this week, defensive coordinators or otherwise, came to you and said, I'm struggling, you know, like, help me, figure something else out. Let's kind of brainstorm together to figure out sort of a way out of this thing. What kind of advice would you give?
Well, I think, you know, they've done a pretty good job. You know, this game was not very good. I think you mentioned the two safeties being out, and they've got some injuries. You know, they didn't get much pass rush. They got to figure out ways to get unique pass rushes. I think when they had success against the Raiders, they did a great job moving front by stunting and PE stunts and EP stunts. And they were very active up front. For whatever reason, I think Atlanta had them on their heels because they were getting them with the outside zone a little bit and maybe had them a little bit on their heels, and they're afraid to do some stunts because they don't want to get pinned and let Bijan get outside. So there were some issues there, but I think they get back to what they were doing against the Raiders, and I think they'll be fine. They just got to get back and get some third downs, get off the field, create a turnover. Finally got a turnover this week on an interception, and unfortunately Washington couldn't take advantage of it. They kicked a field goal but didn't get a touchdown. But I wouldn't panic too much. I just hopefully get some guys healthy and play a little bit better and play more sound and make tackles, for God's sake. Quit trying to strip the ball and just get the guys on the grass.
Yeah, Jay, Atlanta third in the league at this point in net yards per pass attempts allowed. So pretty good on defense, at least in that part of the game. What did you make of Marcus Mariota and kind of an undermanned offense?
I thought he did good. You know, a solid game for Marcus. You know, he had the unfortunate interception. He didn't see the safety. You know, he threw a nice ball. He thought he threw a nice ball there, and the safety came out of nowhere and made a hell of a play. Other than that, he missed a play on third down. I think he missed Zach Ertz, but he had a rusher right in his face, a key third down there after the interception. But for the most part, I think Marcus competes. He had a good scramble. He moves around pretty good in the pocket. But, yeah, unfortunately, you know, they scored 27 points and just wasn't quite good enough this week. But if you expect your backup quarterback to put up more than 27 points week in and week out, you're probably wishful thinking. You got to play better defense when your backup quarterback's in. You got to create turnovers. You got to get off the field on third down. And those three third down conversions that Atlanta had in that long drive were critical. Penix scramble, the out route to Drake London. And I think, I can't remember the other one. I think it might've been a tight end. Pitts had one. So those are guys, ones you got to get off the field.
Yeah, Pitts 22 and 26 yard catches in the game. Jay Gruden is with us on Grant and Danny here on The Fan. Jay, if you have a back who's completely dynamic and every time he touches the ball, he's getting four or five more than is blocked up for him. And he's averaging six per on the season like he's playing in the Big 12. But maybe you don't trust him in pass pro. How do you have your cake and eat it too here where you get him on the field as often as possible and get him more carries without that part of his game being exposed? Or can that just not work?
Well, it's you're going to want to throw the ball eventually with him in the game, right? So he's got to work on it. But he is explosive. He's done some really good things. And I think right now as a rookie, he only played one game last year in college. I mean, I think it might take some time where he'll earn his reps. He'll get more and more reps as the season goes on. I mean, Rodriguez had a couple big hits as well, and they're going to try to use Deebo to get some touches as well. But this kid, you know, if you can't pass protect, you know, you're not going to play for many offensive coordinators because that is a key part of the game. People are going to rush a safety. They're going to rush a nickel. You're going to have to pull up and pick them up, a linebacker through the A-gap. This is a very important part of the game, almost equally as important as running the football. So once he gets the pass protection down, he's more confident, and I think you'll see more of him.
Speaking of running it, they've thumped pretty good here of late, especially with kind of this 2.0 version of this offensive line where they made a couple substitutions, Chris Paul in there at left guard for one. But what have you kind of made of this offensive line as they're going forward here at this point?
Yeah, I think Chris Paul's played good the last 2 weeks. He blew a protection that kind of hurt him a little bit in the sack. But for the most part, I think they're playing more physical up front in the last couple of weeks, running the football against Atlanta and against the Raiders last week. So that's impressive, and that's what has to take place. I think Washington moving forward has to be the team that has the ball control and control the clock and convert on third downs, keep drives going, and keep that defense fresh. When that defense is fresh and they're running around, they're a hell of a lot better than when they're playing on the 14-play drive. They get exhausted, and the strength of Washington's defense is their effort. And when they can't play with great effort, they're very, very average, below-average defensive football team. So very important for them to keep the running game going to keep that defense fresh.
Sounds like the Commanders are flying out to L.A. early. I think they're going to go out like Thursday afternoon, evening, something like that. They have a practice out there on Friday. How did you handle trips to the West Coast or cross-country?
I did them normal. I always thought Friday practice was so important. I want to get the most out of it. I don't want to go in a weird place and do it and figure out how to get dressed and showered and all that stuff. I wanted to make sure I got my Friday practice at home and get the hell out of there Saturday morning early and play and fly back. What the hell? I don't know. I don't think you really adjust to the time of going out there a day or two early. I could be wrong. I could have screwed it all up. Maybe I did. But I just like to do it normal. I make sure I got my good Friday practice and my good Saturday morning walkthrough and get the hell out.
In terms of this, you know, this game going forward, it looks like Jaden Daniels is on his way back, et cetera. What's fair to expect from him with a couple-week layoff and, you know, hadn't shown as much as he did last year through the first couple of games when he did play?
I expect him to be great. I mean, he's a great player. So, greatness travels, and he'll be fine. You know, if he's 100% healthy, he's going to do things with his legs and things with his arm. I just hope the people around him play good. You know, Debo's, you know, got to continue to play good. There's got to be another receiver to step up. You know, I don't know who that is going to be. Is it going to be, you know, McCaffrey's done a couple of good things. Moore had a big drop, and, you know, they tried to target him on a fade ball. He's gloved up. Somebody else has got to step up. So hopefully that happens, and the Commander offense is clicking and keeping the Charger defense at bay.
Jay Gruden on Grant and Danny. Let's go around the NFL here for a few minutes. Start with the Sunday night football game that ended in a 40-40 tie. If they name you commissioner for a day and you're in charge of operating overtime the way that you would like.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, it's your favorite sports talk show in the DMV, the Sports Junkies.
We're talking DC sports and having fun, chopping it up every day on the radio.
You can hear us every morning on 106.7 The Fan.
But did you know our show is also a podcast?
You get every episode, every hour, and every single highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
And whenever works for you.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search the Sports Junkies, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Like to. What would the rules be, and would there be ties?
Well, I think the rules for the Super Bowl should be the rules they are in regular season. Each team gets the chance to have the ball, and the team at the end of that one possession is the winner. And if it's not a, if it keeps going on, it could end up in a tie if nobody scores. But we had that in the Arena League ever since I was in the Arena League, and it's a great rule. I mean, because usually if the first team scores a touchdown, the team that scores coming back, they're going to go for two to try to win it, and the game will be over. If they kick a field goal, then that's, you know,
so you're okay with like last night, which was two field goals and the clock expired and it's just a tie.
Yeah, that happens. Yeah, that doesn't happen very often, but two very long drives, a long drive by Dallas and Green Bay screwed up the clock there at the end. Shouldn't have been a tie, but yeah,
I'm team no ties ever, Jay. I think they're ridiculous.
I don't want to have a 10-yard line or a 2-point play to decide it. I don't really like that. You know, I don't know. I think.
What about college? Play normal play. Why can't you go from like the 40 and we just go back and forth till somebody wins?
Yeah, you could do that. I just don't. I don't know. It's like to have it regular quarter. Start another quarter like they do in the Super Bowl. You're not going to have many ties if that happens if you do it like that.
That's true.
That's what I want. I just want to play football. It's the weirdest concept I know. And everybody, it bothers everybody. They always want a gimmick. Just play another quarter of football.
I just never
want
to look at the standings again and see.
The and one.
And one. One and two and one. Like, that's soccer, man. We need wins and losses.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's for reserve for sports where you play 100 of them or whatever. Like hockey
right,
has it too.
Exactly.
I asked someone else this earlier. I want to get your take as someone who was in the league for so long. Why do you think the results early on in the season, like September, it seems like, I know maybe say this every year, but it feels like on an extreme level. Like, just take Atlanta, for example. Last week, they looked like the worst team in the NFL, getting shut out on the road at Carolina. This week, a buzzsaw, apparently. Defensively, really, really proficient, and offensively, they moved the ball against Washington. Why the variance to such a high degree early in the season, in your mind? It doesn't feel like just for Atlanta, but it feels like for everybody.
Yeah, I don't know. It's hard to figure out. I mean, look at Carolina. They beat Atlanta 30-0. They go back and they lay an egg
right,
and get their ass beat this week. So, I mean, it happens. You know, I can't put my finger on it. Typically, the teams with great trigger men don't have a lot of regression. They stay pretty good. You know, that Josh Allen's, they might have a tough quarter or two, but at the end of the day, the great trigger men are going to allow you guys to win. You know what I mean? And very good defenses are always going to keep you in games as well. You know, the teams that struggle week in and week out are teams that don't play very consistent football. They don't play consistent at the quarterback position. They get out of whack in the secondary. Their angles of attack are poor on defense. But, you know, consistency matters a lot, and injuries and teams staying healthy matters a lot. Baltimore is decimated right now on defense. I don't know how they're going to get a stop. So that has a lot to do with it as well.
What did you make of Jackson Dart's debut? I know the Giants got a win over the Chargers, but they only had 250 yards. I think 3.6 per play. Pretty gross offensive outing for them. But he gets a win in his first outing.
Yeah, he uses legs, and that's something you would hope Russell would have done. But, you know, if you're going to be a young quarterback and you're going to struggle to drop back passing game, you better be able to run and get some first downs. And that's what he did. He had a scrambling touchdown. He had another long run with his legs that kept the drive alive, which enabled him to get another touchdown. So that is key, and they're playing good defense. So protect the ball, use your legs, and get the ball in there when you can and let the defense carry you until you get more experience where you can carry the defense.
You mentioned the Ravens. Their opponent, the Chiefs, have looked good all of a sudden, kind of off the map, or off the mat, rather, over the last couple of weeks. How much of that is they played a beat-up Ravens defense and maybe they found something here and scoring 37 points?
Well, a lot of people put them on the map. They lost two games to two pretty good football teams. but the Chiefs are always going to be in contention with that quarterback. You know, I just mentioned quarterback play. So, yeah. And they got Hollywood Brown back, and they're getting a couple guys. Pacheco looked like he was running a lot better. The offensive line has gelled a little bit more. So, but it does have a lot to do with Baltimore's defense. They're not very good. A week ago, they got crushed by Detroit, and they got crushed again by Kansas City, and they're probably going to get crushed again next week, whoever they play, because you know, you lose your starting corner, starting three technique, your starting middle linebacker. It's tough. I know. It's tough.
Two young quarterbacks I want to ask you about progressing. The Patriots are 2-2, hung 42 yesterday. Drake May, 3 incompletions. He's leading the NFL with a 74% completion percentage. What are you seeing from him?
Yeah, just what you hope. You're just steady progression, and he's getting better and better every week. You know, the guy, you can tell, works his ass off at it. He works hard when he's not on the practice field, off the practice field. He works just as hard. And preparation matters. He's being more prepared for these games this year, the experience that he had last year. This year, moving forward, he's going to get better and better. And he's got a good running game behind him and a pretty good offensive line. And defense isn't bad either. So you love to have young quarterbacks continue to progress at the rate that he is, because he's going to be a force with his athleticism and his arm talent.
And then the Bears have won back-to-back games under new head coach Ben Johnson. Caleb Williams, 5 touchdowns and a pick over the last couple. What have you seen in his development in the new offense?
Yeah, I think Ben is a very good play caller, and that's going to benefit, obviously, Caleb. And he has a couple of really good receivers out there, DJ and Roma Dunze and the rookie they got from Missouri. He's a pretty good player, too. So they got some players around him, and he's starting to settle them down. To limit the turnovers, limit the sacks, keep your team alive. You guys will have a chance to win a lot of games, which they did against the Raiders. They didn't play very good up on the first half. They weren't very good. They weren't very productive at all. They stayed with the game plan. Caleb didn't turn the ball over, kept the team in it. The defense played pretty good, and they got the win on the road. So, yeah, I think he's going to get better and better again with Ben.
Jay, as a coach, how would you handle a Denai Mitchell who fumbles as he's on the way into the end zone, kind of celebrating, realized that I think before he crossed and tried to dive on the football, et cetera, he addressed the team this morning, but it's the kind of thing where he knows he messed up. But so how would you handle that as a head coach?
I don't know. It's something you got to try to take care of at OTAs and training camp, and you have to have your Saturday morning meetings, and you have to just remind everybody how important it is, how hard it is to score a touchdown in the National Football League. So you got to really take care of it. Don't celebrate till you get to the letters in the end zone, the back of the end zone. And that's something that you just hope your team never does. It makes everybody look bad. It makes the staff look bad. It hurts your team. It hurts yourself. And there's nothing benefits from it. There's no end zone celebration good enough for you to risk dropping the ball before you get there.
I don't think you ever crossed paths with Brian Callahan. I know Bill was on your staff here in Washington, and Brian was a longtime Cincinnati guy. You guys never coached together, did you?
No, we did not.
Man, is it a rough go of it? I would not want to be him right now. So his rookie 1-1 pick was 10 of 26 for 108 yards and a pick. They're 0-4. He's given up play calling duties. I guess maybe the way to go with this is, like, what advice would you give a young guy trying to find his way who's already given up play calling duties, offensive-minded guy, head coach in this league, and how much trouble do you think he might be in with a bad Titans team that got blanked yesterday?
Well, they had a pretty good quarterback, Will Levis. Everybody thought he was the guy and benched him for Cam Ward, and they've scored 51 points in 4 games, and they can't protect and they can't run the ball, so they're putting a lot on Cam Ward's plate. This is a lot to ask a young quarterback. Hey, we're not going to run the ball worth a damn, and we're not going to pass protect for you either, and we're probably not going to play very good defense. So here, good luck. Here's the game plan. You're going to get hit 15 times. You're going to have nobody open, and you're going to be trailing by halftime by about 20 points. So he's got no chance right now, Cam. Just got to try to stick with it and try to help him a little bit, but get the running game going somehow. But right now, I don't see them getting better anytime soon.
Jay, awesome as always, buddy. We'll talk to you next week.
You got it. Thank you, guys.
Be good, Jay.
On air and on the rope, Jay Gruden is driven by the Ted Britt Automotive Group, Ted Britt Ford and Chantilly in Fairfax, your F-150 headquarters, Ted Britt Lincoln and Chantilly, and Ted Britt Chevrolet in Sterling, all home to Ted Britt for Life lifetime vehicle coverage. See and shop them all at TedBritt.com.
A little bit early for this in the football season, I would say, but it's happening anyway in week 4 after a tough defensive performance.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, it's your favorite sports talk show in the DMV, the Sports Junkies.
We're talking DC sports and having fun, chopping it up every day on the radio.
You can hear us every morning on 106.7 The Fan. But did you know our show is also a podcast?
You get every episode, every hour, and every single highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
And whenever works for you.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search the Sports Junkies, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.